Old South Church is on the cusp, on the very tippy edge of turning 350 years old. So how do we look? We will celebrate on Sunday, May 12th, the exact day in 1669 that our founders, a candidly rebellious lot, first gathered. We celebrate on May 12th with proper pomp and circumstance, and then we will party. Ice cream, music, dancing, games, and you're all invited. What's in a name? When Old South Church was first gathered in 1669, we were given some names: the Schismatics, the Heretics, the Dissenting Brethren, and my favorite, the Troublers in Our Israel. We shortly thereafter earned a good reputation and earned different kinds of names, if less colorful: the Third Church in Boston, later the South Church in Boston, later the Old South Church in Boston. When we moved here, the New Old South Church in Boston. But today you can just call us Old South. What's in a name? On Easter Sunday, I'd like to honor two of our members whose parents thought Easter was a very big deal. Such a big deal, they named their daughters for it. On April 13th in the year 1818, a woman joined our church whose given name was Easter. That's a nice first name, a promising start, but it goes downhill from there. Her last name, hyphenated, Flint Pinks. Flint, as in the hard gray rock, Pinks, as in the color of a pig, only plural. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, Easter Flint Pinks. 3 years earlier, on July 9th, in the year 1815, another Easter joined our church. Her last name is a happier one, Bliss. I kid you not. It makes you wonder whether Bliss was her maiden name or her married name. Were her parents the Baskets or the Days? Did she live her childhood as Easter Basket or Easter Day? Did she happen to marry a Mr. Bliss, Easter Basket Bliss? I bet every single person who met her upon introduction, "May I introduce Easter Bliss," couldn't help but smile. While Easter Bliss and Easter Flint Pinks are just two examples, the real point is that people, a lot of people, people with all kinds of names, names like James Otis and Samuel Adams and Phyllis Wheatley, names like Pompey and Scipio, were members of this church, upheld this church, fueled it, and operated it across 3.5 long, hard, adventurous centuries. All because of today's story, because of the Easter story, not because of the Christmas story. Now, the Christmas story is a good story. It's a great story. God sure got our attention with an infant. Turned our heads, did God. Made us take notice. Who doesn't like an infant? Everyone loves the Christmas story with the angels and the shepherds and the young mother and a babe in arms. It's a no-brainer. Christmas is a slam dunk. But we're not here today. Old South Church isn't here today. Isn't on the cusp of our 350th anniversary because a baby was born. Even a remarkable, miraculous, magical, and mystical baby. No, we're here today, and Sam Adams in his day, Sam Adams who sang in the choir, could you imagine having Sam singing in the choir next to you? Sam Adams, who sang in our choir, attended church meetings, and who, as lieutenant governor, as a busy man, a man of consequence with many responsibilities, Lieutenant Governor Samuel Adams mounted his horse and rode to New Hampshire to represent this church. Rode to New Hampshire and other places too on other occasions to represent Old South Church at regional churchly councils. We're here today, and Sam Adams supported this church in his day because of the Easter story, not because of the Christmas story, nor because of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, though the Sermon on the Mount is arguably the single most profound ethical treatise in history. We're here today, Old South Church is up and running today, is open for business today. Its members across 3.5 centuries laboring for this church, planting this great stone edifice here at the corner of Boylston and Dartmouth, not because Jesus walked on water, not because he healed the ill or preached great sermons. We're here today, I'll just say it as plain can be, and I know how it sounds, how preposterous it sounds. We're here today because God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Amen. We're here today because Jesus appeared to his followers on multiple occasions long after he was crucified, died, and buried. He appeared to them in the flesh. That's what they tell us. And they were convinced of it. They bet their lives on it. Time is divided by it. And because of it, because of the Easter story, nothing will ever be the same again. We shall lose our share of battles, you and I. We will. We have. But the war is won. We shall not escape our share of grief or fear or pain. We will not. But on the far side of death, all tears shall be wiped away, and death is no more. This is our Easter faith. And here's the kicker, because it gets even better. Here's the kicker. The Easter story proclaims that Samuel Adams and those members of our church from the 1600s and the 1700s who were enslaved, members with names like Moses and Scipio, Phyllis, Mingo, Pompey, Brill, Cornwall. The Easter story proclaims that Samuel Adams and Cornwall, we all received the very same inheritance from God. Imagine that. Easter proclaims that it's no different what Samuel Adams gets than what Easter Flint Pinks gets. No difference what Mother Goose gets than what Pompey gets. Heaven has no best seats, no back of the bus, no reserve seating. It is no gated community. There are no corner offices in heaven, not even for founding fathers and lieutenant governors. God lets everyone in. Amen. If you read about the early church, that's the thing that stands out. Everyone is in. Women, the poor, the enslaved, transients, outcasts, foreigners, exiles, strangers, nobodies. The early church, it's a community of nobodies. Nobodies who become somebodies in the presence of God. Imagine that. For 350 years, the people of Old South Church, people like Mother Goose and Easter Bliss, William Dawes and Easter Flintpinks, Phyllis Wheatley and the Isima Joe, Pompey and Mingo. For 350 years, the people of Old South Church, all kinds of people, widows and orphans, immigrant and native, enslaved and free, all these years we have cradled, cherished, and ferried the Easter story, cradled and ferried it and passed it on and passed it down across the centuries. Passed it down generation to generation, person to person, parent to child, teacher to student, through the making of a new nation, through bloody wars, through economic crises and struggles for civil and human rights, cradled and ferried and passed it down through storm and illness, at times of great national decision, and through personal heartache, grief, and tragedy. This is the reason we are here today, open for business today, not because of Christmas, but because of Easter. We are here today, still at it, because of the mind-bending, laws of nature flouting, death-defying, mortality-upending story of Easter. The story of an empty tomb, an arisen Christ. The story of God's defiance of death and God's throwing wide open the doors of heaven. Take it or leave it, believe it or doubt it, that's up to you. As to the members of Old South Church, It's our story, and we're sticking to it. Amen.